Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Hi there, Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today. And joining me in the studio will be Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud, the Boundaries Boys. I'm wondering what's going on in your life today. I wonder if you're making a few mistakes. You know, we all make them. The question is, are you learning anything? Are you letting God help heal you and bring you to a greater place of maturity through those little mistakes? We'll talk about that and more things with your phone calls here. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
I just wanted to let you know I do appreciate the hope you give through this program.
My boyfriend and I are both Christians, but he's had affairs the whole time we've been together.
How long is the whole time?
Well, like a year and a half.
How many?
A year and a half, he was seeing a married woman the whole time and didn't want to tell me.
How quickly can you call him and tell him it's over?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, so. Well, that comforts me.
But we know that the inside sooner or later comes outside.
That's not the primary issue here.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome, or good afternoon, wherever you are. Welcome to New Life Live. Stephen Arterburn here with my good friends, colleagues, and geniuses, Dr. John Townsend, icons, Dr. John
you
Townsend,
forgot
Dr.
To
Henry,
say,
gurus.
And your good friends, and your colleagues, and your admirers.
And your admirers.
That's part of our...
I don't want to be admired. You know what I want?
But Steve, I mean, you just shouldn't get out of bed in the morning.
Right.
You don't want to be admired.
We don't really have a choice. It just happens when we're around you, admiration
happens.
It's
one of those collateral things.
Yeah, it just happens.
Kind of happens.
Hey, thank you so much. And if anybody would like a copy of that, you go to flattery.com and
we're like the lady yesterday. We're just caught in the headlights of your wisdom.
Yeah. No, I think it's like in Boundaries face-to-face. You're providing snippets of how to say things, you know, in a difficult situation. People listen, then they say that to their husband that night or girlfriend or whatever. Hey, guys, when I started, I said, you know, we're all messing
shouldn't
up.
You shouldn't have a husband and a girlfriend.
No.
There's
a
problem there.
That is a bigger problem.
But would
than
they go to
imagine.
Which group would they go to?
Well, you have more choices for recovery. That's a good thing. But, you know, I was talking about we're all making mistakes, and none of us are doing this thing perfectly, and God knew that. And you know, the big question is, are we learning anything, and are we growing from it? Are we getting on with our lives and developing some maturity and some character? And I'm just wondering, you know...
Do you mean as a race or
no,
like individually?
Individually. What do you think is the biggest barrier to people getting on with their lives versus just getting stuck in the guilt, the shame, or the I look bad, or, you know, all that kind of stuff?
I would say it's probably giving in to the temptation to be self-sufficient and not live in a dependent, transcendent fashion.
Connected to other people.
Well, and God. Mm-hmm. That, you know, people get stuck. I was listening to the beginning of the program, and they had that snippet of you. You were saying that it's hard to live life God's way, but it's hard to live life out of God's way.
Amen.
And that's really how people get stuck, Steve, is that for thousands of years we have gone our own way. And that has kind of short-term comfort mm-hmm. to it. But basically, when the path is not his path, things begin to break down. And the problem with that is it brings us pain, which it should.
Yeah.
But then if you kind of stay with that, it brings you more pain, and the path gets further and further and further away.
It's too bad we have all these options to medicate the pain. You know, some use food, some sex, some people, some alcohol, some drugs. And we really don't get to that mature place because we're not even in touch with the pain.
Best thing you can do is pay attention to the discomfort. Ask yourself, what does this mean? Rather than let me get away from it, what could the message be for me? And so many people across the centuries have benefited from asking themselves that question because God's at the other end of it.
That's right. Okay, we'll come back from the break and go to your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. Free for you at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. 6 Steps to Positive Parenting After Divorce. Moments for Families with Prodigals is our resource. And for those that support us, Boundaries Face to Face. We'll take a break.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, this is Max Licato. You know, I've been a pastor for 3 decades, and I've seen people run to different things for comfort when they're hurting. Some run to drugs, some to alcohol, some folks go shopping, some gamble their money away, some folks turn to sex, yet others turn to food. If food is something you've chosen as your drug of choice and you'd like to break that habit, that obsession, that addiction, whatever you want to call it, the good folks at New Life can help you. They have a weight loss weekend coming up, and you ought to look into it. There's no reason to let weight define who you are. Get your health back. You know, you're a child of God. He has something better in store for you than living and hiding behind your weight problem. Call 800-NEW-LIFE today. Right now, ask them about the New Life Weight Loss Weekend. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or just check it out online at newlife.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
Hello. We're back.
Thanks for asking.
And glad that you're with us here today. We're going to go to the phones right now. And I tell you what, let's do. Let's talk to Kelly. She's calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Listen to WNIV. Hello, Kelly. Welcome to New Life.
Hello, boys. I'm so glad y'all are in today.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Well, I appreciate you all. And we have an awesome youth pastor. We really appreciate him. But there's one area that I'm really struggling with and had a personal confrontation with him, and I'd like your help with it.
Okay.
And he teaches a 4-week session on sex.
By the way, Kelly, I just wanted to affirm you that you're calling us after you've had a confrontation with someone, as opposed to, I've never done this, I want to talk about this person.
Oh, really?
Well, have you ever listened to the show? Everybody calls and gripes to us instead of talking to the person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you did.
Well, I've already dealt with them, but it wasn't a good outcome.
Oh, okay, I understand. I'm just saying that's a good thing. Keep it up.
That's cool.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the encouragement.
Now we'll
not go back and do that again after the end.
I know. Well, now we're going to be really hard on you, but, but right now it's really affirming.
Did you shame him or something? What'd you do?
Excuse me?
Did you
shame
him? Well,
it was, did I shame him? No.
What did he do?
My children came home and told me things he was saying, and I thought, well, I think my kids are exaggerating. So I went and talked to him and asked him to see the curriculum. And he became very, what he would call passionate, what I call aggressive, and was extremely graphic with me personally, and I just thought, I felt very violated, and when he preaches, I'm having real difficulty receiving from him.
All right, what did he say that was such a big problem?
He used some very graphic language.
Is it language you can't say on the radio?
I prefer not, yes. No, you would not want me to say what he said on the radio.
So it's bad words.
Yes, he was very, used a lot of slang, which he was trying to imply to me, this is what the kids are telling me, and that may be true, but the way he used it was so disrespectful.
You were kind of personally offended.
I was very offended.
Okay.
And you think he might actually be teaching some kids some new words, or it just was...
Well, the problem I'm having is I have one teenager who extremely exaggerates everything in his mind, and that's part of his growing up, as he needs to, you know, grow through that and mature through that. So when he comes home, he will say things that the youth pastor genuinely said, but he is receiving it in such an exaggerated manner. But then when I talk to him, I think, well, maybe my son isn't receiving this in an exaggerated manner. Maybe the man is actually talking this way.
Did you ask him? Did you ask the pastor? Did you ask the pastor, are you using language that you're using with me with the kids?
Yes.
And what
he says he was.
Like as he's teaching or as he's counseling or whatever?
He feels that because the kids are saying these words...
He's kind of meeting them at their level.
Right.
And Kelly, you know what I'm struggling with? It's really hard to know without knowing. You know, because I don't know how to know whether...
Right, what happened.
If you're like, highly sensitive or he's in the gutter. You know what I mean?
Well, my husband
I have an idea.
How can we do this? Here's a radio dilemma.
Yeah. Here's what we're going to do.
Where's George Carlin?
Kelly, I'm going to put you back on hold.
Okay.
When we go to a break, We're going to have you tell us those words off the air.
Tell us exactly what he says.
And then we'll come back, and we'll be able to deal with this in a realistic way, okay?
Okay.
So you hold on.
You tell the producer, they'll write the words and through the window.
And then all of you listening, you can sit in your car and guess, what are those dirty words? No. But we'll get back to her, and we'll deal with that. And Mike, maybe you could help us out in getting those words.
That is that brings up a principle in life. And Proverbs addresses it. It says that one man's story is right until another one comes along and tells his side. And sometimes when people talk to you about something, the reality is, and this is a good thing to follow in life, same reason the Bible says two or three witnesses, that we all have perceptions. And we all have, and she may be exactly right, but she may be value-adding, you know,
right.
Or she may even be codependent. It's a lot worse than she should have had him arrested. We don't know.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing when you listen to one person. And everybody should be careful when anybody tells you a story about anybody that it's going through some possible filters.
Well, I was glad you affirmed her for, you know, going directly to the source.
Well, just think about all of the nightmares that is caused. And the Bible talks about gossip when, I mean, have you ever had the experience where you found out from person C that your friend person B was talking about you and never came to you?
Yes.
Isn't that horrible?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
It's horrible. All right, we'll get back to Kelly after this. Let's go to Lisa from Indianapolis, Indiana. WQME is that station. Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Hi.
How
nice
are you?
Nice to talk to you guys. I'm fine.
You don't have any bad words to tell us, do you, Lisa?
No bad words today.
Good. What kind of words do you have?
Well, I have a question about how to explain to my children and introduce to them that their dad and I are divorced. I've actually found a lot of information on that, except
that you are divorced?
Yeah, but we divorced when they were really young.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just kind of starting, they're 4 and 5 now.
Mm-hmm.
They're just starting to realize that other kids have dads that live at home.
Okay.
So, and they are totally neutral about it. They're not, you know, traumatized. They enjoy going to see their dad, and all they've ever known is mommy's house and daddy's house.
Let's start from the obvious, Lisa.
Okay.
Why would you just not say, if they ask, yeah, mom and dad are divorced?
Oh, I guess I've been nervous about introducing it,
right,
and I wanted to do it the right way.
Right. What's the anxiety about?
Well, part of it is I'm afraid about them finding out that divorce is not a good thing, you know? And they're very innocent, and to them it's very neutral.
So you're kind of feeling bad that they may discover that mommy ain't perfect?
Maybe.
Yeah, Lisa, basically at that age, first, if they don't have a question about it, you don't volunteer until they're ready.
Okay.
But they are now experiencing whatever the badness was without words for it. Other kids have mom and dad at home. I don't, but mom's not talking. So their experience and their life is telling them one picture, and if they have questions about it, they'll come to you, and then you say, yeah, we're divorced. In other words, then...
How old are they?
4 and 5.
4 and 5.
I suspect the first time that they're concerned about it, one of them is going to say to you, why doesn't daddy live in this house?
Yeah.
Right.
And then that's when you introduce divorce. But I think they'll come up with the question at the right time.
Okay, so just wait until they do, until they bring it up?
Well, I would. I mean, I don't know.
Well, until
any...
you know, there's some sort of relationship between the elephant in the room that nobody's talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody who's too little to know what an elephant is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some sort of cognitive dissonance is the technical term. In other words, there's something wrong with this picture, but why isn't anybody telling me what's wrong with the picture? Versus they don't notice anything's wrong with the picture. And I think you have to be sensitive to that dynamic. And, you know, they're getting to the age where something ought to start to look like John said, it's wrong with the picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And if
just one more question, Lisa.
Yeah.
How much contact do they get with each of you?
Well, they see their dad like every other weekend and one night a week.
Hmm.
So, and then they live with me.
And you divorced how long ago?
About 3 years ago.
Okay, when they were tiny.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to, the best thing for, the rule for kids is you always give them the truth to the degree that they can see it understand it or metabolize it.
And, okay.
And in a way that they can't.
And let me send you John and Henry's book, Boundaries, Face to Face, how to have that difficult conversation you've been avoiding. And I think any of you who have a situation like this, you know, I think even more difficult is when the kids think that the marriage is going forward and you have to sit down and say, it's not. That's a tough one. And this will help you have those kinds of conversations. Boundaries, Face to Face by Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud. And you can get that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or by calling newlife.com. Lori from San Leandro, California. KFAX is the station. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good morning, good afternoon, boys, guys, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hey, nobody ever calls us gentlemen. I like that.
I'm a long-time supporter of Club New Life, and I really, really enjoy this program. Learned so much from you all.
Thanks.
Yeah, I have a question regarding a case of adultery that is happening at our church right now. There is a...
Now, that's really interesting, Lori. You know why?
Why is that?
Because on our screen here, it says that you called to ask about tithing.
That is true. That's going to lead
And we're going,
that.
Now, how does this go together?
I bet, I bet you didn't like the way the church handled the adultery, so you want to move your money elsewhere.
No.
Okay.
You're just going to have to explain.
Question.
There's no way we could guess this one.
What's happening is there is this man, a member of our church, who is involved with his sister-in-law, who is also a member of our church, and they have been told to stop this, and they are not stopping it. And in fact, they just came back from a trip to Hawaii together. And so far, our church has been following the principle in Matthew 18 to go to them singly, individually, and then together with elders.
Yeah. Good.
And we have told them, if you're not stopping this, you can't come to worship with us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that part is done. However, we don't know what to do with the man's parents, because the parents, well, let's call them the grandparents, because the grandfather is holding leadership position in our church. And
does he have to do with anything?
Yeah, the grandparents take care of the children, allow this young couple to go on vacation together, and they invite this young woman to come and eat with them, and in our eyes, they are condoning this. And our pastor and our elders have gone to them to say, you have to stop this, you can't condone sin.
Mm-hmm. So they did the same Matthew 18 procedure with the grandparent?
Right.
Okay.
What's his response?
His response is, yes, I know we are wrong, but we can't take our son out. He is our son. And therefore, we're stuck at this point as not knowing what to do, because that leads to the tithing part. Our pastor is saying, if we are to discipline this grandfather and tell him that he can no longer serve at our church, then we should be consistent and discipline those who are deliberately withdrawing money or withholding money in tithes to our church. We have to discipline everybody in the same way according to the Bible.
Well, wait a minute. Stop. First of all, you don't discipline everybody in the same way, because everybody's not in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Matthew 18 progression is a continuum of increasing heat on somebody, and the line from start to you know, ultimate separation on there is a line, and the particulars are not given on that line. In other words, how long do you give before the first conversation in private to the two or three, for example? See, that's not given.
Mm-hmm.
The circumstances that mitigate against that you know, are talked about elsewhere in the scriptures aren't given in that passage either. And the problem is, you can't just take one verse and use it as a cookie cutter without all the other principles that apply, like long suffering, like Galatians 6:1 would be an example, and you know, on and on and on. So you can't just take a cookie cutter approach to, quote, disciplining people's lives. But the second thing is, Lori, that that from a New Testament perspective, you really can't, in my opinion, you can't make a law about tithing.
Uh-huh.
It's not really taught in the New Testament. What's taught is giving, and giving as like 2 Corinthians 9 says, or 1 Corinthians 9, 2nd or 1st, 2 Corinthians 9, 7, I think, as you've purposed in your heart and for good reason, and there's other passages that explain as according to your means, and and tithing is a way too low number for some people, and it seems that for other people at times they don't have anything, you know, and so I don't think that, I think apples and oranges are being compared there, and that's how I would look at it.
All right, I hope that's helpful to you, Lori, and we really believe in people supporting their local church, and we want, you know, we believe your tithes and offerings need to go there, and that should be your priority, and then the extra that you want to give should come to us, specifically. I mean, well, other ministries too, but that's the way we look at it. All right, we'll take a break and come back and talk about those words of concern.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That number again is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. We want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an every man's battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. Let's go to Kelly. We want to help her. Upset over some language with the youth pastor. And Kelly, we got the words there off the air, and I just want to make a blanket statement without giving any words, okay?
Okay.
All right. One of the toughest jobs in the entire universe and most important jobs is the job of a youth pastor.
Can we back up a little bit, Steve, because a lot of people like don't tune into the show. Can you give just some context to what Kelly was doing with?
They don't? I mean, they don't listen to the whole thing?
Kelly was upset that her youth pastor used a little too graphic words in his four-week series on sex. And so she wanted to know, you know, well, are they too bad? And so we needed to know specifically. So I'm going to make a blanket statement, then hear what John Henry. But it's a tough job. I was a youth pastor one time. You're always trying to relate to the kids and get the kids interested, and so that the church world is as fun, exciting, and meaningful as the secular world, which is such tough competition out there. And I would just say this, Kelly, I think a lot of youth pastors who have a great heart, You know, it's like they might cross the line a little bit every now and then in being too graphic. But it's not an indictment on them, I wouldn't say. It's just a little bit of maybe a judgment error here and there. It is a tough thing. You know, we joke about how whenever there's something difficult to say, mm-hmm. you know, people say, you know. And that is not the way to communicate with young people. They want you to be credible, and they want to know that you know what you're talking about. Henry?
Well, I would just add that you know, when you looked at the words he used, you know, it wasn't like a felony. They yeah. wouldn't be words that I would use if I talked to kids.
Right.
Because what you want to do is give them a little higher standard than their peer group while you're doing what Steve said. And so I would agree with your sentiment there, Kelly. What I would be more concerned about, though, is this. I'd be more concerned about his response to you than what he did.
You follow me? I appreciate that. Yes,
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, because one of the additional skills a youth pastor has to have is the ability to make the bridge to parents. And if when parents give input, one of the skill sets that he needs would be to win you over to, if he's right, and that he needs to use those words to be able to join you in your concern, validate your concern.
Affirm it, yes.
Affirm it and say, well, look, you know, I totally understand. Here's why I did that. Think through it with me and kind of take you into his counsel in a way. But to be defensive and reactive and also kind of, you know, violating seemingly to you and not be able to at least hear that and mm-hmm. receive it, that's more of the character issue than the actual content.
Yeah, Kelly, I would call for a second conversation with the man because he sounds like a good man. And I would say, I want to be an ally. I believe in what you're doing, mm-hmm. but it's a little bit like if I bring up a hot button area for you, you call it passionate and I call it you react against me, and it's hard for me to be an ally. And I would go after that because that could come up in other areas.
Yes.
So,
I appreciate
all right.
that.
That's where we're going.
Thank you, Kelly. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you
let me
so
send,
much.
Let me send you John and Henry's book, Boundaries Face to Face. Our resource is Moments for Families with Prodigals. And if you have a prodigal like Jesus has all of us prodigals, and we would love for you to have this book. It's a great gift for others who are struggling with their kids going astray. And there's great hope here and comfort. So you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and we'll tell you about that. Let's go to Heidi. She's calling from Cincinnati, listens to WAKW. Hi, Heidi. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I love your radio program. I hear it all the time, and it's just amazing how much you bless people all over the world.
Thank you.
Or the country. My question today is about adoption. I have three wonderful children. And my husband and I have been talking about bringing another one into our home.
How old are the ones you have?
I have a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And I have the two older girls, and I have the younger boy. And we were thinking of giving him a little brother.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my concern is that there are
Hey, Heidi.
Uh-huh.
You understand that if that's a solution to a problem, that's an infinite regression.
Like, what now?
Well, if the problem is that everyone needs a little brother, then the one you adopt's going to need one too, and this thing could go on for years and years.
Yeah, I
anyway,
know.
Anyway, so we might want to talk about that. But
well, I think it's also a way of just opening our home to somebody that needs.
Right, that's
love.
A different. That's
yeah.
a different.
You know,
what's the big dilemma
family.
For you? What's the dilemma?
Well, we're kind of afraid of. We have a very harmonious home. I mm-hmm. mean, everybody gets along. It's just wonderful. We're afraid of getting a little child that has detachment disorder, and we're afraid that he won't bond with me or my husband or my children.
Okay. Well, let us talk about that when we come back from the break. Okay.
Great.
We're glad you called. 1-800-229-3000 to join us.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. Today's program has been pre-recorded. If you'd like to make a donation or register for an upcoming workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, and Heidi. Heidi, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, we were just talking about this at the break, and I have an adopted daughter, and it is just the joy of my life. But there is always a possibility for all sorts of things, including detachment disorder.
Heidi, the other part of that. Uh-huh. Is were you to go the biological route and try to have another baby?
Just go with him here for a minute.
Let me finish the thought.
Okay.
That's kind of a gamble too.
Right.
That you've got harmonious family relationships now. Those are great. But when people add another baby, even by getting pregnant, they don't know what they're getting. They can certainly hope for those things.
Right.
But there's kind of the same issue. Now it is sort of magnified because the child may have gotten attached to the biological mother and has all kinds of really strenuous things that have to happen to readjust. But, if you really want a kid and you feel like you've got the resources, I think I would sit down with my husband and look at, do we have the resources for a difficult child if that happens? And if we don't, it's a bad time for us, because what you don't want to do is to end up like kind of not having what it takes. And anytime people decide to add somebody to their household or life, make sure you've counted the cost.
Right.
Yeah. The bigger question isn't, should we adopt a little baby brother? Uh-huh. It's, are we at a place where we want to fight for a child, fight for their mental and spiritual health and growth, and are we willing to make the commitment, whatever it takes, we're going to be there for that child?
Right. So you end up getting a high-maintenance baby of whatever flavor.
Which is a great, great thing to do.
Which is a great thing, and people all over the world will say it added so much depth to my life. But you got to be ready for that. So we affirm the concern, and we would just say do a kind of a tally with your husband of your emotional resources, your time, yeah. your energy, and your money resources in case you have something that's amiss.
I mean, even when it goes well, you know, it's
right.
hard. I've got a friend that adopted. They had one little boy, and they adopted a second one because he wanted a little brother, and they adopted a second one, I think from the Ukraine. And their son was like so into this, and you know, wanted. And after the new one had been there and been home for like 3 hours, he goes, "Take him back. I don't want a brother." And you know, that's just normal. Yeah. And I think
right.
you've got to be prepared
right.
for whatever, yeah. and it's a wonderful thing to do. So if your family's ready and able, then it's yeah. good. If they're not, they're not.
To John's point, I've got a friend who had three kids. They were all kind of passive, compliant kids, and of course, having those kind of children, he became an expert on parenting. Then the fourth child came along, who came out of the womb kicking, screaming,
brings you to your knees.
Exactly.
Oh,
and then he, you know, so you don't know what's going to happen either
right.
way, but
yeah.
I would recommend anybody that could adopt a child would want to.
Yeah, Heidi, and the whole harmonious thing, how are you with conflict?
What?
How are you with conflict, rebellion, and disobedience?
Like with my kids?
How do you respond to it emotionally and internally?
Oh, I let them have their feelings. Like if they, you know, if they're angry, then it's okay that they're angry, and I try to channel it.
Can you keep this? Can you keep structures and consequences on them when they're out of control?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, those are the kind of things that you need to make sure are part of your arsenal of tools yeah. to help the kids, yeah. if you get that.
Is it okay if I drop mine off every now and then?
Right. Heidi, thanks for calling us, and I will just hope and pray that works out, and we'll ask others to hope and pray that that will work out for you. Got a great note from someone at Cape May who said, "I think about what God has done for me in those short 5 days through your ministry, and I am so very amazed. There's still work that's needed, but I see the world through a different lens now. I could say so much more, but I'm saving it for the book that I'm working on." You know, this is, I think this is probably the biggest goal that we have, is what she says here. I see the world through a different lens now. So many of us...
So much different, Stephen. I'm just changing and getting more disciplined and...
Yeah. Well, you know, I've spent so much of my life looking at the world through a shame lens, inadequate lens, and you know, God just He says, "Hey, we can do better than that. We can get beyond that." And it's great when somebody's lens is changed. All right, let's go back to the phones, and let's go to Leslie calling from Dallas, Texas. Listen to KWRD. Hi, Leslie. Welcome to New Life.
Hello.
Hi.
My question is. I have been divorced for 2 years and separated for a year previous to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry.
Mm.
And I just struggle so much with getting over my husband's adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to move on, but in my heart, I love him. And as a Christian, pray and wish for a change of heart. And he led our family on for almost a year. I'm very cruelly promising, you know, false hope. And I want to move on and be in a Christian relationship, but my heart is so torn. And I was wondering if you could give me some advice.
Hmm. What have you tried to do, Leslie, to work through it in the grief process?
Well, I have been to counseling, and it does help to a certain degree, and my head knows all of this.
Well, I don't know what all of this
yeah,
is.
I don't know. When you say I've gone to counseling, it's helped. What is it that the path is in the counseling that's helping to a certain degree?
Well, I'm not currently in counseling. Just at the beginning, just letting out the emotions, because I do not have a support group through family. They basically were no help whatsoever and really didn't care.
Who wasn't help? Family?
My family. And so
you're kind of in a vacuum and trying to do this on your own.
Right. And my husband and my children were my family.
Okay. Question, Leslie.
Yes.
Does Is he giving any conflicting signals that he might want back, or is he done?
He does. We communicate sometimes, and he's basically resolved, you know, doesn't talk with the children because I think of his shame and his guilt, but he will tell me that, yes, I miss you and miss the kids, and I, you know, fantasize about coming back sometimes, but in the meantime, he's living the life with the person that he is now with, it with my friend, and they broke their marriage up too, and I...
This is your friend?
This was my friend. Oh. Yes, and then he had an affair prior to that I found out about.
Well,
and
you said a couple of things that would explain why you can't let go.
Yes.
And the two things were that, A, you're basically trying to grieve by yourself.
Yes.
That's not how grief works. Grief is a letting go process, okay? And to let go, you've got to be held while you let go. It's sort of like a trapeze. You can't let go of one till you have another one.
Yes.
Because you'll go into a black hole of emptiness and nowheresville.
That is how I feel, because
that, there's
financially,
a reason.
It was in the middle of nursing school, gone back for a career, and everything
right.
just left.
Right, and that's...
Immediately, and I've gone...
And exactly what you're saying is what I'm describing, that's kind of the laws of the universe. You're experiencing reality that you can't grieve in a vacuum. So what you must do to be able to let go is you must get into an abiding support system, not just, you know, one that you see here and there, but integrated with the, you know, what Paul says is having your hearts knitted together with love. I would start with a divorce recovery group and kind of, you know, do 8,000 other things to get abidingness in your life. And the second thing, what you said was that they were your entire family. And really, in a sense, family is not supposed to provide all of our needs. Family provides some of our needs, and the broader community within which our families reside provide the needs for the families to be sustained from, to be able to provide the needs that the family does. And so God has created a fabric of life where a family exists in a community, and you're just in a vacuum, and you've got to get more from this and probably not let his deceptive words sway you, because he's voting with his behavior. Mm-hmm. And you have to believe that, unless he does something different, which he hasn't done. Mm-hmm. So we're going to put you on hold, and maybe we can refer you to someone in here.
Yeah. And I'm going to send you Boundaries Face to Face. Hope that will be a blessing to you.
You know what? And also how people grow, because we have a whole big section on grieving and when it works and how it works and when it doesn't, what to do.
We'll take a break and come back.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed that if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical, or doesn't make sense, or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me.
because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer November 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. I was just looking at the front page of USA Today today about the grief that grips the Army families, these troops in the helicopter. They died on the way home. They were headed home. And we need to pray for all these families and anyone who's been affected by the war. Very, very sad. But we were talking about grieving, and boy, they're going to have to go through quite a bit of very, very tough grieving. But we pray for them and hope that God will be there to comfort them. Well, we know He will be. I hope that they will experience that godly presence that we want
Steve,
everyone to experience.
There is such a skill that all of us need to learn when you're around somebody who's had losses. That the tendency is to move away from it or make it positive or just avoid it because you feel so incompetent, but rather to do what Jesus says do, weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn, move toward, engage. You may not even have the words, and sometimes there aren't words, but what people need is a presence there and learn that skill. It's just so important.
Mm-hmm. All right, if you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, that's the place to call. You know, we're a listener-supported ministry, and we really do want you to support this ministry if we've helped you, if we've helped bring change to you, or if you want to be part of changing the lives of others. Please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go back to the phones for our final caller. It's Marie from Cincinnati, Ohio. She listens to WAKW. Hi, Marie. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing okay today. Thanks for calling us.
I've listened to you guys for several years now, and I must say my life has definitely been changed by your ministry.
Thank you.
Basically, I'll give you a quick background information, and then I'll ask my question. I come from a very legalistic background. Grew up, you know, with no pants, no makeup, lose your salvation at the drop of a hat, constantly worrying if you were to die, if you'd go to heaven or hell.
Hmm. So freedom was not a big part of your life?
Not at all.
Nor was makeup.
Right. my father's a pastor, and he was never quite as legalistic as the church that I went to myself, but he has a lot of those beliefs as well.
Mm-hmm.
And after I left...
You went to a different church than your dad?
Well, they went occasionally, but I went from the time of four or five years straight by myself when I was in high school.
Now, he was a pastor.
Just a question. Why did you pick a church freely that was more legalistic than even the one he was at?
I think it was because that I wanted to please God so much, and these people seemed to have all these rules and stuff, and I knew that I believed that if I could just do enough, then I would be good enough.
Yeah. It's kind of tricky, huh? You find you want to please God, so you... If you can find the most rigorous, impossible pleasing system, then that's the one that works best for that formula.
Almost, you could say, the most unlike the way Jesus dealt with
people. Yeah.
But that's what the Pharisees did. They invented more and more and more and more and more and more and more rules to try to make it on their own.
Right. I moved away to college and moved away. I met my husband. I started going to a healthy church. God really opened my eyes up. And then I started listening to your program, and the books Toxic Faith and More Jesus, Less Religion really, really opened my eyes to a lot of things.
Oh, that's great.
So basically, I've completely changed. Of course, my parents are still, they think that I've backslidden because, you know, I'm all liberal or whatever in their eyes now.
Okay, so what's the question today?
And how old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
25. Yeah. Basically, my problem is my mother, she has been going to, or she went to the doctor a couple of times because she found some lumps in her body. And they've done a couple of biopsies. They can't decide whether it's benign or malignant. They want to go in and remove these and have, you know, give her some chemo and try and do biopsies on the actual tumors themselves to find out what they are. However, my parents have now went totally legalistic, and they've went to this kind of belief system of name it and claim it, confess it, and you'll possess it. So they're wanting to believe in God enough, you know, that she'll be healed. Meanwhile, she won't go back to the doctor. She refuses to talk about it. She only speaks that she's healed. And I don't know how to help her. I don't know how, you know, what to do in this situation.
And you've told her she ought to go to the doctor?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they know where I stand, but they think that I just don't have the faith, that I've lost my faith, and you know. And the thing is that her fear of death or hell or whatever this is caused them to just go more legalistic than they've ever been in the past.
Yeah.
And I can't, I've tried to talk to them, but it's like...
Well, if you try to talk to Marie, you know, the best thing you can do is just be a support and a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to convince them if you hadn't been able to convince them.
Right.
You know, you can try. You can give them books and stuff, but... The best thing to do is, you know, just try to support them. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing and to pray for healing and to get the elders to anoint her with oil and do all sorts of things. But it also says all of that right next to a lot of other things like wisdom and counselors and the principles of using all the resources that God gives us, as well as, you know, it's not too much of a stretch to think about in the temptation of Christ in Luke chapter 4 that there's kind of the disavowal of reason and throwing yourself off the cliff, but, you know, and putting God in the position to have to save him.
Right.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And thou shalt not test the Lord your God. And that's a difficult dynamic between exercising faith and testing. But In one way of thinking, the way I think about faith is that faith comes to play when we have exhausted all of our resources.
Right.
And when God has given us clear resources to deal with things and you're not using those, then that can qualify, I think, sometimes as testing God.
Right. Their mentality on that is that doctors are secular and they shouldn't be trusted because they do more harm than good.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of people that died early that feel that way.
Right.
Because they didn't. And you know this.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I just think you're probably, if you're up against that kind of a belief system, the best thing you can do is deal with that for yourself, the frustration of not being able to change them, and just love them, you know. Just
right. And if it's at all possible... to make it safe for them to talk about their fear. They probably are so frightened and have to kind of like stay away from that with spiritual sounding words, which aren't really spiritual. And if you can somehow tease underneath that in your own way and talk about must be frightening for you, gosh, this must be scary, I'd be scared too. And they know that if it's ever going to come out how they really feel, then you can be a person to help with that.
Okay, thank you for your phone call. We are just about out of time. Boy, did the time ever go by. Remind you of a few things, 6 steps to positive parenting after divorce. This really will help you if you've been struggling in that area. You're just divorced. It talks about how to be a parent and not just a friend in this terribly tough time after a divorce occurs. A network of counselors across this country. And for those that support this ministry, we send you Boundaries Face to Face, John and Henry's new book. It's a great one. And then our resource, Moments for Families with Prodigals. That is our resource. You can order that. And our secondary resource, if you've got kids, a lot of folks are ordering this, the Young Believer Bible with the theme, Never Stop Believing, for 8 to 12-year-olds. You'll love this. Thank you for being with us. Pray for the folks who call us. We count it all joy to get to be here with you. As we struggle through our own hurts and pains, we love getting to be there for you. We're not immune ourselves. Hey, have a great day today. We love you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the Archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.